This morning, I'd like to talk to you about something that I don't think you often hear messages on, sermons on. And I'd like to talk to you about something that I would like you to mark your calendar. If you use your phone for your calendar, and maybe you have a calendar in your book, or maybe you put it in your head, I want you to mark one of those places. And on your calendar, I want you to write down on September 14th. I want you to write four letters. F-A-S-T. Fast. September 14th, which is not this Wednesday, but it is the following Wednesday. Because on September 18th, we are having our Outreach Sunday called Back to Church Sunday, and we want you to go to invite people either who do not have a church home or who are going to a church that is not Christ-centered and Bible-believing. And we want you to invite them to our church on that Sunday. There are several thousand churches around the country that are having Back to Church Sunday on the very same day that we are doing that. So that's why we want you to take the books and the little cards in the back, and we want you to hand out everyone that's back there. But on the 14th, we want every heart to come together, and we want to spend some sweet hours in prayer. We want to spend some time as a church praying. We want to spend some time as a church fasting and getting alone with God together as a church as we prepare for the 18th, Back to Church Sunday. On Back to Church Sunday, which is 2 weeks from today, we will only have one service. There'll be no 9 o'clock service. There'll be no evening service, just our 10 o'clock service. And on that day, we will have our service, and right after, we'll have a meal. On the back table, there's a sign-up sheet. We're going to have a covered dish. We want you to come with you to church with a meal that you can share with others. So put your name down and what you're bringing so that we can do that on that day. You can bring your food and put it in the snack room. And, you know, one of the great things about church is church food. I mean, church food is just great. So as we think about church food, I want you to think about not eating church food or any other kind of food. I want us to look this morning at what fasting is, what it is all about, and why we are going to fast on the 14th. So let's begin in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces, show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. I want to basically ask some questions this morning and then give you the answer. And the first question I want to ask this morning is, when should we fast? When should we fast? Now, I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about several different religious activities. In the verse we're looking at, he talks about fasting. In verse 5, he talks about prayer. And in verse 1 and following, especially verse 2, he talks about giving. These are religious activities that God has given to us to do. And I want you to notice in verse 16, it begins with the word when. When you fast. I want you to notice it does not say if you fast. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to fast, but I want you to know that the Bible, God, expects us to fast. Fasting was not just an Old Testament thing. Fasting was not just a apostle age, Jesus day kind of thing, but it is for us today. Not if you fast, but when you fast. It is assumed, just like giving and just like praying, we will fast. When you fast. The Jews were commanded to fast. They had certain holy days on which they were told that they had to fast. Bible gives does not give Christians any such schedule. But it does say that we ought to fast, and it does assume that we will fast. Some fasts will be private. You will fast and no one will know you are fasting. That is what Jesus is talking about here. Talks about the same as it relates to prayer. Talks about the same as it relates to giving. So some fast, no one will ever know. When I was in college, I remember going on a fast from a Monday through a Thursday. And my job when I was at school was, the first 3 years anyway, was to run the elevator at school. Our dorm had 5 floors. So I would run the elevator up and down. It was one of those ones where you had a handle and you had to move it, and a lot of fun. But that week that I fasted, we also had a snack shop at the bottom of the elevator in the room next to it. So there were people buying popcorn and pizza and all kinds of things, and then getting in the elevator, and I'm kind of like, oh, that smells so good. But no one knew I was fasting. It was just me and one other guy, and we fasted from Monday through Thursday. We got alone with God and with each other, and we fasted and we prayed. That was a private fast. But I want you to notice here that Jesus, as he talks about the privacy sometimes of serving God, doesn't mean that every time we fast it should be private. Just like every time we pray, it's not always private, and the same goes for giving. There are times when we give that it is public, and times when we pray that it is public, and times when we fast that it is public. In the Old Testament, we see the Jews gathering together for a national fast. Esther called all the Jews during a very difficult time in the nation's history, where the possibility was that the Jews could be wiped out. And Esther called the entire nation and said, "Fast with me." We find in the New Testament, we'll look at them in a minute, where the church gathered together and the church as a whole got together and they fasted as a church. In fact, when we look at the first century Christians, they fasted every Wednesday and every Friday. So 2 days of every week they would spend fasting. It's hard to imagine doing that in America today. Most people, if they miss a snack, they begin to get a headache. God has blessed this country so much, and we've been blessed so much with food, and we eat so much, it's hard to imagine not eating a meal. So what is fasting? Let's ask the second question. What is it? He says here in verse 16, when you fast. Fasting simply is going without food for a religious purpose. Going without food for a spiritual purpose. It has the idea of having an empty stomach or abstaining from food or to be without food. To fast is to abstain from food for a limited period of time. You could drink water, as the Israelites did and as the New Testament church did, but they would not eat food. Now, water means water. If you're going to fast, and I hope you will with us on the 14th, it doesn't mean drink a Mountain Dew or a Coke and then not eat food. That will not go good on your body. You drink water, but you don't eat food. It means to go without food. Now, you don't do this to lose weight. Although there are some fasts, and they were testing for a while back people with diabetes, where they would go without food for 40 days. And they were able to turn, a lot of people with diabetes, they were able to turn their bodies around. But that's not what we're looking to do. This is a fast that is done for religious or spiritual purposes. A fast in the Bible could be anywhere from not eating one meal, so we see several people in the Bible, including Jesus, who would fast for 40 days. Now you say, if you didn't eat food for 40 days, you would die. Well, no, you wouldn't. unless you already were really, really skinny. Jerry Falwell, several years back, went on a 40-day fast, and then God led him a couple weeks later, I think it was a couple, 2 weeks or 2 days later, I can't remember, where he went on another 40-day fast. There's a book written about it. I can't remember the title, but there's a book written about his experiences during that time. And let me say, if you were on medicine, you need to be careful because you need to take medicine with food. So if you're on medicine, I want you to be very careful. You may not want to fast for the entire day. You may just want to fast for one meal or part of a day. But fasting is going without food for a spiritual, religious purpose. Hold your finger here in Matthew and turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Please don't get the idea that this is great, now I can lose weight. It's not why we do it. You may not have noticed, but I've lost 20 pounds over the last year, not because I was fasting, but for other reasons. But what we're doing is not for that purpose. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Notice that there is physical training and then there is godly training. There is physical exercise and then there is spiritual exercise. Fasting is spiritual exercise. Fasting is godly training. What it simply means is this, that during the day, breakfast, lunch, supper, or maybe you might want to do just a meal or two meals, but breakfast, lunch, supper, your snacks, that entire day you go without eating. You say, well, what do I want to do that for? Well, you go without eating so you can take the time that you normally would have eaten and spend it alone with God in prayer. You might say, well, I'll just pray while I eat. No, the idea is that you take your mind and your heart and your thought and every part of your being and you kind of put blinders on and you take that time and you say, look, I'm going to get alone with God. I'm going to spend time with God and I'm going to forget about everything else in the world except for that which I am here to pray for, that which I'm here to really give my heart over to God for, and I'm going to spend this time with God. Now, we want you to do that individually throughout the day. But then on our Wednesday night Bible study, we're not going to have a Bible study. Our Wednesday night normal Bible study is just going to be a time of prayer. We're going to gather together Wednesday night, and we're going to spend that time in praying specifically about our Get Back to Church Sunday. So you may not normally come to church on Wednesday night. I hope not this Wednesday night, but the next Wednesday night, and even this Wednesday night if you want, that you will come and you will gather together with us and we will spend that time together in small groups and in large group and we will pray. And what we're saying to God, we want you to come down and we want you to work. God, we're going to spend extra time in prayer talking to you and God, we want you to do great things and we're going to pray. Instead of eating breakfast and lunch and supper, we're going to spend that time, we're going to pray, and we're going to get alone with God, and we're going to pray. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. I wonder if you've ever spent an hour in prayer. The Bible tells that Jesus spent an entire night in prayer. We know that in Matthew chapter 4, that for those 40 days while Jesus fasted, that most of that time he spent praying to God. In the Bible, we see prayer mentioned without fasting. But we never see fasting mentioned without prayer. Because that's what fasting is all about. It's taking the time we normally would have eaten to pray. And as a church, we want to specifically pray about Back to Church Sunday. We want to get alone with God, and we want to ask God to do great things. Notice here in Matthew chapter 6, the reason that the people here were praying is so that someone would give them a pat on the back. And that's what we see here as Jesus talks about giving and about praying and about fasting. They wanted someone to just give them a pat on the back, and they wanted to kind of walk around and say, "Hey, look at me, everybody, I'm fasting. I want everybody to know I'm fasting. Come and tell me how really spiritual I am. Come and tell me how really great I am." Jesus said, "Don't do that. Don't do that. It's a time to get alone with God." So I said, some fasts went from morning till evening. In fact, do you know that's where the word breakfast came from? Breakfast means break a fast. And that's what you do in the morning after having slept all night. When you get up in the morning, you are breaking your fast, your evening time of sleep without eating. Some fasts went for 3 days. Esther, when I talked about Esther and gathering Israel together, she asked them to fast for 3 days. Some fasts I mentioned went for 40 days. Some fasts were for a week. Some fasts were for just a day. We are asking you on Wednesday the 14th to fast. If you can't do it all day, do it for one meal. But get alone with God and pray. And then join us Wednesday night so we can pray together. But fast. Question number 3. Why should we fast? Why should we fast? Well, in pagan religions, they fasted because they were afraid of demons. They would often fast because they were afraid that demons would get on their food, and then when they ate their food, the demon would get in their mouth through their food and then get into their body and take control of them. Some fasts were the result of fertility rites. I mean, some girls just wanted to get pregnant, so they would fast. Think about Amy Jarrett, number 2. And then there were biblical fasts. There were biblical fasts. Let me show you just a couple. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Couple of pages over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After having fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You can imagine he would be, right? He was hungry. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You know, you think you would die because you need food that long, but you really wouldn't. You know, you can't go out without food a whole lot longer than you think. The thing you can't go out without is water. We always need some kind of liquid in our body, especially water, but we can go out without food for a long time. So Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. I want to show you a church fast. Acts chapter 13. Verse 1, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. So part of the worship service included fasting. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So they're getting ready to send missionaries out to the world, this church at Antioch. And while they're doing that, they spend their time fasting and praying and worshiping God. And when they're all done, God speaks to them through the Holy Spirit, and they say, "Grab Barnabas and Saul and send them out." church as a whole gathered for fasting. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 14. Verse 21. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they turned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. So here's Paul and Barnabas. They're going back to all the churches they had started. They gather together with the people of the church, and there they get pastors, and they anoint them, and they appoint them, and get them ready for the pastoral ministry. And as part of that, they are praying and they are fasting. In Daniel chapter 9, we see Daniel looking for an answer in prayer, so he gets alone with God and he fasts. In Ezra chapter 8, they got alone before God and they humbled themselves and they fasted. In Ahab in 1 Kings 21 over his sin, Ezra chapter 10, the Israelites over their sin, in order to humble themselves before God and get their lives right with God, they fasted and they prayed. In Judges chapter 20 and in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and in Nehemiah chapter 9, the nation as a whole, the entire nation, they gathered together and they prayed and they fasted, the nation of Israel. In 2 Samuel 12, we see people gathering together because there were great cares in their life and they want to get alone with God and pray with God. So along with that prayer, they fasted. So we see many places throughout the Bible where they said to God, God, you know what? I don't need to eat. Instead of eating, I'm going to get alone with you. I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to read your word. And I'm just going to spend this time, God, talking to you about this need, about this care, about this ministry, God. And I'm going to lay it before you. And God, you're going to be my focus. And I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. So they did it as individuals. They did it as nations. And they did it as local churches. We did this as a church, best as I can tell. Last time we did it was in 2002. So it's been 9 years. We're back then, we gathered together and we fasted as a church. And I'm calling our church to do that this time. Bob and I, as the leadership of this church, we're asking all of you, whether you're a member of this church or whether you come to our church, we're asking all of you either to give your entire day on Wednesday to not eating and just getting alone during those times and spending that time in prayer, and then either that or a meal or two meals throughout that day, depending on your health, depending on whether you take medicine, and then come together on Wednesday night and pray and talk to God. Now, we're going to fast, we're going to pray. Here's what I want you to pray about. Number one. Pray that as we go out with the books, as we go out with the cards, as we go out verbally, as we are doing a mailing to 1,000 homes in our neighborhood around the church. Do you know within a mile of this church, 1,200 people live? We are also doing a mailing to those who are already on our mailing list. Here's what we want you to pray. We want you to pray that people would be receptive to everyone as we go out. Whether it's through the mailing as individuals, pray for receptive people. Number two, pray that people will open their hearts and respond and come to church on that day. Number three, I want you to look at the person next to you. Look at the person on your right. Look on the person on your left. And then the best you can, look at yourself. And I want you to pray for every person you just looked at that they wouldn't be afraid to invite somebody to church, but that they would have the boldness of God and they would overcome their fears and invite someone to church on that day. And then the final thing, I want you to pray that on that day someone would come to Christ. Somebody would get saved. Somebody who maybe who's not going to church would make the decision to come here to church on a regular basis. I want you to pray that hearts would be touched by the Word of God. So these are the four things I want you to be praying about as you fast and as you pray on the 14th and even today as we look forward to the 14th and then the 18th. And as you leave this morning, take some books, take some cards, invite your neighbor to come, invite the person you work with to come, invite a relative to come, invite everybody you possibly can to come, and we just pray for a great day on the 18th. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us to serve you. And Lord, I pray this morning for Holy Spirit boldness for every person that's here this morning. Because I know already, Father, there are people thinking that they're already scared to invite someone to church. Or we might even use the excuse that we don't know anyone. Help us, Lord, to not use excuses, but help us, Lord, to reach out. Lord, not just so we could have a larger church, but so that people can escape hell and come into your family. Father, we pray for a great day. Help us, Lord, as a church to be united in prayer, united in fasting, and united in sharing the gospel. May we find a great receptive heart, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.